Well, yeah, a little bit of a game just to help us understand the passage that we'll look at in a moment. Just while I negotiate these bits of paper. I'm going to show you 9 objects. They're objects that give us the right to do something. For example, if I showed you a picture of my front door key, that would give me the right to get into my house. And if I gave you that key, it would give you the right to get into my house. I'm not going to do that. 9 pictures. All we have to do is remember them and store them up. But there will be some questions afterwards. So let's have a look at these pictures. What do we have the right to? Here's the first one. It's an Oyster card. Go on our heads. Oyster card. That's an invitation. Okay. That's a passport. That's a concert ticket that very few people want. Now, that's a Sky remote. It's the Hoofa Doofa. I don't know what to call it. It's one of those. There's a plane ticket or a boarding card. Oh, just about see that. That's the pass. That's a pass to the British Library. There's a birth certificate with some very significant dates on it. There's a number, 2310. Got those in your heads? Everyone happy? We're going to split the church down the middle, and I think we'll have the middle there, if that's all right. That's it. As the Newell's Park Company, that's fine. Rich, would you mind giving us a hand with the microphone? Thank you. Now, I'm going to show you the objects or the places that those things give us the right to. And I'm going to ask you simply to put your hand up if you can identify it. The first person to put their hand up will be attacked by Richard with a microphone, and then you'll have the opportunity to give us the right answer. Now, if a young person answers the question, the side gets 2 points. And if a less young person answers it, the side gets 1 point. I think we'll define young person as, what do you reckon, pathfinders and below. So if you're year 9 or below, you're a young person. And if you're not, you're less young. So let's have a go at this and see what we get. So what do we have? Which object gives me the right to go to a party? Now, that was a front row here, yep.
Invitation.
Very good. Check that's right. So 2 points. Daniel, will you now be my scorer for me? Can you remember 2? Yeah? What's the next one? It's a library. Oh, I think was that George's hand, I think? Or was it one of these guys? I think it was Georgia.
A pass to the British Library.
The British Library pass gets me into the British Library. That's right, doing well here. What's the next one? There's the pass. So how many points have we got over here? And how many points have we got over here? None. Come on, guys, need to pay attention. Here we go then, the next one. Pathfinders. Ooh. Ah. Now that's interesting. I think we'll have a potential...
2310?
No, I'm afraid not. Good try. That's not the right answer, which means it automatically goes over to this side. Can anybody on this side give me the answer to that one? All the intelligent... Oh, here we go. I think Mr. Newell has one.
Birth certificate.
Thank you very much. And why?
Those are the eligible ages.
That's right. Those ages on the birth certificate were from year 7 to year 9. And you only have a right to be in Pathfinders if you're in years 7 to 9. So you're Richard or me or Jen or Sarah. So that's right. Now, what would give us the right to get into the UK? Hand at the back there. Pat was there.
Passport.
Yeah, absolutely, Pat. Well done. The passport gives me the right to get into the UK. So 2 points over here and 4 points over here. Very good. Okay. What gives me the right to get money out of an ATM?
Oyster card.
No. Ooh. Have another go. Have another go. Have another go.
2310.
Absolutely, 2310, yes. The pin for most people whose birthday is the 23rd of October, so if it is your birthday, change your pin because we know what it is. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. 2310 gives me the right to have money out of the ATM. Well, what's the next one? Right at the back. Kath Tanner had the answer to that. What gives you the right to get on a bus, Kath?
Oyster card.
An Oyster card, that's right. Yeah, more points over here. So, Daniel, what points have we got over here? 8 over here, 7 we think, 7 or 8. How many over here? How many over here? 2, right, come on guys, we need to really up the game here. What's the next one? I can't remember what the next one is. All right, here we have then. Oh, the answer, yes. Now, what gives us the right to change channels? There we go. To choose what we're going to watch on TV.
Your remote.
Absolutely, well done. The Sky remote. Whoever has the Sky remote has the right, don't they, to decide what we watch on TV. How many family discussions take place over that. What gives us the right to get on a plane? Ah, Pat again. Maybe one of you two. Yeah, Pat maybe. Yeah.
Boarding ticket.
Boarding ticket, thank you very much. Yeah, the boarding ticket gives us the right. So how are we doing on scores now? Daniel, big brain. 7 to 5, we think, all right.
Yeah.
And let's see what else we've got. One more then, all right. What gives you the right to go to a One Direction concert? I think it might be Katie there.
One Direction concert ticket.
It's the One Direction concert ticket. Yes, that thing that's worth several pence for some people. Good. Thanks, Rich. It's very helpful. All those things give us the right to do or to access things, don't they? Now, a question I don't want an answer to at the moment. What gives us the right to pray? Have you ever asked yourself that? What gives you the right to pray? We all pray. Sometimes we pray when it's just a panic. Sometimes we pray. What gives us the right to talk to Jesus? Well, we're going to meet a lady today who wanted desperately to talk to Jesus, but she didn't have the right. Natasha's going to read to us in a moment from the passage that we're going to look at today. First, let me give you some context, though. The passage, what's happened just before the passage that we're going to read, is that Jesus has been doing some miracles, and he's just had a bit of a tussle with the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees, they thought a lot of themselves. They were supposed to be the experts on God's law. They always got the best seats at parties. They got the best tickets at the One Direction concerts. Normal people looked up to them and were perhaps a little bit afraid of them. But actually, the Pharisees were really only interested in how good they were. And Jesus had just shown them up. He embarrassed them. Even the disciples said to him, "Do you know you offended them?" And Jesus gently sidestepped that one. Because yes, he did. The thing is, Jesus knew that the Pharisees would try and get their own back. And he knew that it wasn't the right time for that yet. So Natasha, would you like to come and read our reading from Matthew? Thank you.
Today's Bible passage is Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28, which can be found on page 982 of the Church Bibles. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to be the lost sheep of Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
Great, thank you, Natasha. Great, keep that passage open, page 982. We'll just ask ourselves a few questions about that. Well, okay, first question, nice easy question. Where did Jesus go after he'd had his tussle with the Pharisees? Opportunity to show your knowledge. Have a look in verse 21. Pathfinders, catch my eye, otherwise I'll catch yours. Oh, Daniel, top man, where did he go? Are we on with the old microphone? Try again.
The region of Tyre and Sidon.
Tyre and Sidon. Yeah, Tyre and Sidon. Thank you very much. What do we know about Tyre and Sidon? Well, what do we know about Tyre and Sidon? Tyre and Sidon is now part of the Lebanon. It used to be, back then, it was controlled by the Romans. Previously, it had been controlled by the Greeks. And the people there were a mixture of Greeks, Syrians, a few Israelites, and lots of Persians. On the whole, they weren't the descendants of God's people. And through history, the people of that land had been the enemies. The Canaanites, the woman that we're reading about, those people had particularly been the enemies of God. They were known for their worship of all sorts of false gods. They were known for worshipping statues and poles. And they were known particularly for child sacrifice. They worshipped by sacrificing children. It's always good to have a demonstration in these things. Could I borrow a child? No, let's not do that. But they had heard about Jesus. We know from Mark chapter 3, verse 8. Don't need to look at it. I'll read it to you. When they heard all that he was doing, so when Jesus was doing miracles, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. So Jesus withdrew. He went off patch. He went abroad. He withdrew from the Pharisees who were plotting against him to a different land. He went to a land where people didn't believe in God and where they sacrificed children to their idols. Well, Jesus and his disciples were wandering around, maybe in one of the towns of that region, we don't know, and a young mother came up to them. What did she say? Hey, Jesus, can you do us a favour? Nope. Perhaps she was a bit more refined. I say, Jesus, how jolly good to bump into you. I wonder if you could possibly help me out. Nope. Verse 22 tells us that she said, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. And why? Well, she tells us that her daughter was possessed by a demon and is suffering terribly. Can you imagine how bad that mother was feeling? It's really hard to understand just how desperate that mum was. We don't know what was going on with her daughter, but we do know from other parts of the Bible what sort of things demons did to people. Do you remember Matthew, just a little, couple of chapters on in Matthew, a boy kept falling into a fire and into rivers. Or in Luke 8, the man at the Gadarenes, who lived wild, naked, yelling and shouting. Now we don't know anybody, I don't think I know anybody who has a demon-possessed child. But I do know mothers who have been desperately worried about their children. In fact, we're going to meet one of those, Claire. I can't see Claire, she's hiding. Claire, come and join us.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, how long have you been coming to Emmanuel, Claire?
About 1.5, 2 years.
Okay, 1.5, 2 years. It's nice to see you. Tell us a little bit about your family.
I'm married to Ben, and I've got two children.
Ben, wave your hand just to embarrass you. Great.
Joseph, who's three, and Michael, who's two.
Joseph, three,
yep,
and Michael,
two. In Red Lion Road.
And you're from Red Lion Road. So nice and local. Fantastic. Thank you. Now, all mums worry about their children, don't they? But you were particularly worried about one of yours, about Joseph, weren't you? Tell us why that was.
Joseph was our first child, and after a normal pregnancy, he was born, and we were told there was something wrong with him. And a bit later, they said to us that the two great arteries of his heart were the wrong way round. Right. They needed to act quickly.
And was there anything that you could do about that yourself?
There was nothing we could do at all. We just had to sit back and let the doctors take Joseph and wait, because they were the experts and we had no idea of what was going on.
And how did it feel for you? What was going on in your head?
It was hideous. We were extreme. We were just helpless. It was out of our control, and just felt extremely fearful and frightened about the future.
Thank you. Fearful, frightened, all those emotions, the same emotions that the lady in the passage we're reading would have been experiencing. What made you pray about it?
It was a situation that just demanded huge faith and prayer, because the outcome was totally in God's hands. It highlighted how helpless we are without him. We had to pray that the surgeons would have the skill they needed on the day, and that Joseph would have the strength he needed to get through the operation. And I found we had a lot of people praying and supporting us, friends and family. And on the day of the surgery, I felt a great sense of peace, even though it was a horrible time. But I kind of felt it was over to God. And that got me through the 7 hours of waiting.
Wow, 7 hours. And what was the outcome?
The outcome was great. The Joseph responded really well to the operation. He's now, and we were able to take him home 2 weeks later. And he's a very healthy little boy. He has checkups every 2 years.
He's being held up there. Go on, let's see Joseph. Hi, Joseph.
Every 2 years. And he's just normal, full of beans. He told me this morning his ambition was to be Batman when he's older.
Fantastic, yeah. That's fabulous. Claire, thank you very much for coming up here. Let's give her a round of applause. It's hard work to come up and just talk a bit, and thank you very much for doing that. And our Canaanite woman was in that same situation. She was desperately worried. She was anxious. There was nothing that she could do. She would have had all those same feelings. And she must have been delighted when she bumped into Jesus coming towards her, maybe in a town, maybe they were in the countryside, we don't know. And she prayed to Jesus. She said, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy." And in saying, "Lord, Son of David," she was saying, "Look, I know you're here for the Jews. I know that you are the Messiah." And when she said mercy, she recognised that she had no right to access him. We sung earlier on, didn't we? Mercy is when God does not give us what we do deserve. And that lady knew that she deserved to be banished and punished by God. And you can hear her saying, "Look, I know I'm a Canaanite. I'm an enemy. I know I am. Look at some of the practices of my people." But the thing is, she knew that she needed mercy. And that was even more important to her than having her daughter healed. And what did Jesus say? Anyone ideas? Have a look in verse 23. What did Jesus say? Trick question, sort of Pathfinder type question. Jesus said nothing. The disciples had something to say, didn't they? They said, "Send her away, she's being a pest." She said mercy. Jesus said nothing. And the disciples said, "Send her away." We need to get that in our heads, so I think we'll just split into three. You guys over here on the left. She said mercy. Mercy, can we do mercy like that? Let's see you do mercy. Fantastic. Jesus said nothing. The disciples said, "Send her away." Bit of action. Oh, come on, send her away. Thank you very much. Well, let's just have a go at that. She said mercy. Jesus said, the disciples said, "Send her away." Thank you. See, she knew that she had no right to access Jesus. She knew that she had no right. There were four reasons why she had no right. She was a woman. Just actually in those days, a woman approaching a teacher like Jesus would have been quite unusual. She was a foreigner. She was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite, so she was an enemy. And some of their practices were pretty poor. I wonder when we pray, do we think about whether we have the right to pray? Do we think about whether we're bringing something to Jesus? Or when we pray, are we thinking about what Jesus has done for us? But Jesus didn't send her away. Jesus waited. It's great, isn't it? Jesus doesn't send us away, and he could do. And the fact that Jesus doesn't send us away means that we can pray and praise him. And we're going to take a break now to sing a song, "My Jesus, My Saviour." And because of what Jesus did, we can sing this joyfully and with confidence, just as that woman did. So please stand and sing, "My Jesus, My Saviour." Now in Pathfinders, about now, we have a cake break. Most of you know that we have cake, a habit brought in by Simon Tanner, and one we just can't get rid of, really, somehow. So I need 8 people who'd like to join us in a quick cake break. 8 people to join us in a cake break. Where you come? Let's have 8 people. Here we go. There's one. Come on, come on, come on. I'll send you over. How many have we got? We've got 3. Come on, cake break. Cake break. Brian's coming for a cake break. No. Kate is coming for a cake break. George is coming for a cake break. Fantastic. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One more person who'd like a cake. Actually, Jen, would you come and have a cake break? Fantastic. Come stand next to your daughter. Very good. Now, which way should we do this? Jen, have a cake. Take one. No, they're not, there's nothing. But this isn't a trick. These are fresh. Very good. Have a cake. Okay, oh, do eat it. It feels like communion. It's not communion. Please. Oh. We've run out, I'm afraid. Do eat your cake, that's fine. Please eat it. We've only got some crumbs left. Here, well, just have the crumbs. Put your hand out and collect the crumbs. That's great. Thank you. There you go. Right, thank you. Would you guys like to go and sit down? Take your cake with you. Enjoy it. You can sit down too. That's great. Would you like staying up here just for one moment? I want to ask you a question. So they all had fantastic cake, didn't they? And that was nice. And what did you get?
Crumbs.
And do you think that's fair?
No.
Do you think it's kind?
To get crumbs? Well...
Not really, is it?
No.
They've all got cake. Are you a Pathfinder?
No.
Do you have any right to be in our cake break?
No.
No, go and sit down. Now we'll see brotherly love to see if they share that cake, won't we? See me afterwards. Good prize coming up. Thank you very much. Yeah, great. So there was no right to there. And how did it feel? Well, it's not fair. It's not kind. Crumbs are no kind of substitute, are they, for a nice bit of cake? Let's hear the second part of our reading today. Natasha, would you? Call you Natasha. Would you come and just read the second part there for us? Thank you.
The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the word of the Lord.
So page 982, keep that open, will you please? And what we've got here is we've got Jesus just reinforcing the fact that he came for God's people, the Jews, the Israelites. And it looks a little bit like he's calling that woman a dog, doesn't it? Is that a bit rude? Natasha, what sort of things might some of my friends of yours say if they were called a dog?
Hang on a minute. You wander into our country, ignore a reasonable request, and then call me a dog. Who do you think you are?
They might well say that. Thank you. Do grab a seat. Which would have been a human response. Who do you think you are to call me a dog? But this woman knew who she was. She accepted she was a dog. Sorry. But in what way? She knew she had no right. She knew she was like a dog sitting under the table at Jesus' feet. How do you feel about being called a dog sitting under the table of Jesus? We get a little bit insulted by it. It sounds a little bit rude, a bit insulting. That wasn't what Jesus meant. He didn't want to humiliate her. Simply making the point that Jesus is master. And we're all in that same position as servants of Jesus. And we'll have a look at the response. What was the response around the crumbs? See, quick as a flash, if you look in there, verse 27. "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Now, those crumbs, the crumbs that Ben got, they weren't much, were they? But the crumbs that we can pick up from Jesus are worth far more than we can imagine and far more than we can ever have. You see, she knew that a crumb from Jesus was worth far more than she could hope. Remember the Pharisees? They were only interested in themselves. They were plotting against Jesus. This lady here knew that Jesus was Messiah and Lord. When Jesus died, he bought us all a place. Not as a dog at the floor, on the floor, but a place at his table. No longer, when he died and rose again, was there a difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. The whole majesty of an almighty God was available to us. What was her reward for humbling herself, for accepting her position, for being willing to accept crumbs? The daughter was healed. And what does Jesus say? "Your faith is great, and your daughter is healed." She knew that she needed mercy. She knew she had no right to ask Jesus for anything. She knew and accepted that she was like a dog, a servant to Jesus. She knew that a crumb was worth more than we could hope. And she knew that Jesus was Messiah and Lord. Let me ask you three questions around this. First of all, Are you thinking about Jesus? Are you thinking, is he interested in me? Could he be interested in me? He was interested in a woman who was a Canaanite, an enemy from a group of people that sacrificed children. He was desperately interested in her, interested enough to heal her. Another question for you. Maybe you're at the other end of the scale. Are you thinking, actually, Jesus, I'm owed more bread? How do you come to Jesus when you pray? You know, it's a good question, isn't it? Are we demanding Jesus? Have we got a bit casual in the way that we pray? How often do we remember the majesty of God? How often do we hold Jesus in awe before we pray? How often are we coming to Jesus really thinking, actually, we're quite special, so we're owed this? Do we need to be on our knees under the table when we're praying a little bit more? How great is your faith? Let me test that. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. What are you praying for? Are you stretching your faith out like this lady did? Or are you kind of getting a bit settled? Remember this woman. She knew who Jesus was. She knew where she needed to be. And her faith healed her daughter. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us. Lord, help us to know that Jesus loves us to the point where he died for us and rose again that we could be round his table. Challenge us, Father, with what we need to hear, we pray. Amen.